Good day and welcome to News 24 on air, our live audio service. My name is Carlita Hunter. We are here at our studios in Randburg, and I'm joined today by Mbali Ntuli, who is the head of Groundwork Collective and a former politician. Mbali, do people still think you are a politician?
Surprisingly, a lot of people want me to go back into politics. I didn't think I'd get that reaction, but it's nice.
Maybe we should call you a surviving politician.
That's better. I think I'd have that on my Twitter bio, survived politics.
I mean, you really have, but you are onto new things now, and you have made it your mission to register as many young South Africans as you possibly can. I think one of these days, the TikTok kids are going to call you the voter lady. Tell me why of all the causes, why this cause?
So, I mean, when I left politics, I was very clear that I wasn't going to another political party and that I wanted to do work in communities because that's where I found the most joy and I saw the most important part of the journey, which was obviously seeing people be able to become empowered and to do things on their own. And so I found the Groundwork Collective, and for me there were three things that were very important. The one was food production. I saw far too many young people and kids that were malnourished, starving, and the constituency that I had that had the highest childhood stunting. So we do that at Groundwork Collective, food production, teaching people how to make their own food, making sure that young people don't have to make the choice between, you know, finding a job or putting food on the table. The second was obviously jobs, because that's just a huge crisis in our country. And I felt that I could use the networks and the connections that I'd, you know, made over the past 15 years of my career to try and connect young people to opportunities, because that was a huge thing that they would have talked about. But then importantly, civics. Far too often in my political life, you would go to people, go to meetings, speak to, you know, high-flying executives. And I realized that many, many, many people just didn't know how their country worked. Mm. And so to me, it was not surprising that we have the situation that we have right now and the status quo remains the same every election. And that's because people are paralyzed. They don't know how to plug into the platforms. They don't know what to do because they don't know how the government works and they don't know how even the various things that they have in their communities work. So they don't know where to go outside of political parties. And I just thought it was ridiculous, because then what we would never have was an active citizenry that would be able to hold politicians accountable. So yes, registering is the very first step to that, because you need to make the pool bigger. Otherwise, you always artificially make it seem like the established parties are bigger than they are. But if a party is getting 5 out of 10 votes, because 10 people only go out and register and vote, it looks huge. But if suddenly more people register and then it's 5 out of 20 votes, then obviously that changes the dynamics of what can happen quite significantly. And so for me, I've always understood that politics was a numbers game. And this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to put more numbers so that we have a better political system, more plurality in the system. And then importantly, not just register these young people, but then take them through a curriculum that teaches them how everything actually works so that they feel like they have a stake and they feel like they can participate.
So the Independent Electoral Commission this week said that for the first time since the dawn of democracy, voter registration has surpassed the 27 million mark. So more than 27 million South Africans have been registered to vote. That's really cool, right?
It is, and it's amazing. But obviously, you know that we still have a lot more that are eligibles that should be on the voters' roll.
Especially young people.
Particularly young people, yes.
I saw a stat that you relied on that said about 14 million young South Africans who are eligible to vote are not registered to vote.
Yes, and that's what we need to be dealing with as the major crisis, because that's also 70% of the population. Those are also the people that are going to bear the brunt of all these policy decisions that are being made now for them in the future. And I just feel that we have really let down young people in this country 30 years into democracy, because we haven't done the work after 1994 of making sure that democracy was seen as something that people need to actively participate in to make it work. We just kind of think people should vote and then that's it. And as a reason, and as a result, we now have these 14 million young people who could change the system overnight. We don't even have a political party that's gotten 14 million votes in the last two election cycles. Imagine what that could look like.
Mm. So tell me, when you interact with young people, what is the main reason why people are not registered to vote? Is it ignorance or apathy?
It's certainly not apathy. I think it's a combination of different things. The first that we come across quite a lot, and we do a lot of focus groups with the young people that we are also speaking to and registering, is that they're put off by the political nonsense that they see.
Let's zoom into that. It looks like, and I mean, this is the sentiment I have observed as politics editor, that people are disillusioned that political theatrics and the chaos that you see spans across the political spectrum, whether it's the governing party, opposition parties, or even small, obscure parties too.
100%. And so that's what young people are seeing every day, is that it seems like there's no mature person, there's no adults in the room. And so that puts them off. It makes them have no faith in the system. And I mean, you'll see even in Afrobarometer, they released a survey that said that opposition parties are at the very bottom of the trust in terms of institutions that young South Africans have. And that's an indictment on our political system, because even the governing party is not particularly high. So that's the first reason. They find the political theater and the way that our political leaders behave to be incredibly off-putting. That's before they even, you know, start to chat about the fact that they don't even see themselves represented in these particular leaders and feel that they're out of touch. The second is that there is a lot of research that shows that they are overwhelmed. There's so much political disinformation and sometimes political information that's coming at them, but with no clear way of understanding if it's biased or not, it's overwhelming. And in South Africa, we have so many issues and so many problems that sometimes it becomes easier to just, you know, put it to a side and think that politics doesn't really concern you at that particular time. So we see a lot of that. And then the third, and this is the biggest one, is that they just actually don't know. They don't know enough about anything, whether it's a political party that they should vote for, or whether it's a system, or whether how to register, or, you know, how anything sort of works. And so all they've seen that kind of works is that they can protest and there can be violence, but they don't know that there's a participatory democracy that's one of the best in the world, that gives them avenues through legislation and through bylaws and all kinds of things for them to be able to participate in the way that they want. They just simply don't know. And that's, as I say, where we need to step in now to say and to educate people in fun ways and cool ways that they can find accessible about what it is that they need to do. So you can't say to a young person, go and vote for your, you know, counselor, when they don't even know what the difference between a ward counselor or PR counselor is. Mm. We have to take it back a step and really get that first to be in what young people are accessing more and often.
The other thing is, you cannot talk about voting and elections without talking about the real state of the country, and that is, you know, poverty levels, unemployment, inequality. And so if I am hungry as an 18-year-old, voting is not in the top 10 things I need to do for the day or for the month or for the year.
Exactly. There are many more pressing and urgent needs for people that don't have the luxury, I suppose, of being able to tap into these conversations. But this is also why this needs to become a conversation that becomes a culture and is inculcated in the way that we think of everything in South Africa as a citizen. Because even if somebody is hungry, they still know about the various things that are available to the country. They know about the grant system, whatever it is that, you know, is part of the culture of our country. And so we should be doing this in school. If we can teach kids about the Springboks and the national anthems, that's already a form of civics that takes you into the next conversations. Obviously, that must be appropriate for the age of the particular person, but it mustn't be something that is only done before an election, because then, of course, no one's going to have time to look into it when they are hungry and trying to figure out where their next meal is. It needs to be something that is pretty much just a part of what it means to be being South African. The same way that we like to dance, the same way that we like to make jokes and memes and all the other kind of things that make us really cool as South Africans, being an active citizen and knowing how the system works should be something that is a part of what everybody knows, no matter where they are, no matter their level of education, no matter whether, you know, their socioeconomic status, so that they are able to then utilize it.
From the time you started until now, is the topic of voting now rendered cool? Is it cool?
I mean, I think the way that we've been doing it is quite cool. We obviously used lots of influential sort of influencers and celebrities, and we try to do cool things like music and concerts, and we offer really cool prizes that resonate with young people. So we are finding quite a good uptake in the people that we're engaging with, that they find
Can you tell how much? How many?
Oh, we're sitting at hundreds of thousands, I think, now. I mean, I don't know what it's going to be like after our Gauteng registration. I just saw some videos from the ground team now, and it seems like they have at least a couple of hundred people waiting in the line. So
what do? You go to an area mm-hmm. and you mobilize by incentivizing young people to come with their IDs, or they don't even have to come with their IDs. They're just the ID numbers. What do they need?
So we look at the data of the various places using IEC, Census, and of course Home Affairs to see where the least likely amount of people are registered, particularly young people in that particular area. And we then find a place where young people would congregate around there, so that we've been quite targeted in that. And then we utilize the media and different platforms and the celebrities to call out young people and to let them know we're going to be here on these specific days. Please come with your ID so you can register with us. In the background, we've already done a lot of work with the IEC. We have an API, so we have the ability for them to be able to also register or check their registration on our particular portal. And then, yes, we use incentives. If you register on our portal, you're guaranteed a voucher of some kind that you get and win for being registered. You also get the ability to have extra vouchers. Like, we have a Superbulous competition that's going on now. We also have, these private concert performances that people can win. We just had one with Musa Keys before he went off to the Grammys. We have Shekinah coming up, Pabi Cooper coming up. And we use social media, TikTok, and people that are popular there, even nano influencers that speak to the young people to call them out. And it's been really working because young people have been coming out in their numbers, or they've been registering on our digital portal. So you can come out physically where we are, which is great because that atmosphere is quite a vibe. Or if you can't, you can obviously register on our portal and you still stand the same chance of winning and having the same experience. And then for us, obviously, we take your information and then we start giving you all the curriculum and the videos about how to vote and, you know, what is the difference between a department and ministry, what are your taxes get used for, et cetera, et cetera. So we're able to keep on doing that, and we'll be doing that not just now. Now it's going to be a year-long journey that we'll be taking people even beyond the election, because there's so much that we need to teach people. We're also developing, you know, board games that are kind of half Monopoly, half Dungeons and Dragons, and we want to do that for schools, because schools also can use that in BE or life orientation. And we want to actually create a league so that kids are learning democracy in a fun way. It's competitive. They win something. And, you know, that makes it cool, again, to become an active citizen. And so we're even doing it for corporates, because corporates that we've been speaking to have also found that the majority of the people that are their employees also don't know this kind of information. So we have multiple ways that we're trying to make sure that we're touching all corners of society to be able to get this journey kickstarted, because in 30 years in democracy, we need a reset.
So I have organized a family hike on Sunday, and my family don't know that they will be ambushed into registering to vote. But I've heard that people are having sip and registers.
Great.
Which are very cool.
Very.
People are also doing... Do you remember the I think it was in COVID, where no vaccination, no mjolo, so no, no registration, no mjolo.
Only date voters.
I think that will work in dating apps. But I mean, what is your sentiment, as we're getting really close now to the general elections, around excitement? Mm. Despite the disillusion of the political space?
I think we're actually now seeing sort of the pickup. And obviously, as South Africans, we love to do things at the last minute. So okay. It's typical for us. But I do think now there's a lot of excitement. We are hearing a lot of people. There's these apps that are coming out. People are doing like cool manifesto things. I was just contacted a couple of days ago, actually, by a mom of a student in Stellenbosch who was like, I've designed this really cool thing to get young people to be able to vote. I've put all my money into it. I'd like you just to put it out there. I mean, so there's all these really cool things that are coming out now. And I'm glad, because I think the more of us that are doing this and having these conversations, the better. And I mean, one of the things that we also do at Groundwork Collective is election observation. So we don't just register, we don't do education. We also then have a way for you to actively participate on the day to make sure that you protect your election. And we're just asking for 3 hours of somebody's day. You literally go stand where you would have voted anyway. We would have trained you. We'll give you, you know, a nice little stipend for some water and some food. And you will protect your election. And I think people don't know how much fun it is. It is so fun.
No, it's fun to be at election day. I mean, we as journalists go to voting stations, and it's really, really fun and vibrant. And some people are braying, and some people are, eating a makip. It's really fun.
Yeah.
But tell me something, Bali. How do you convince a young person to register to vote when they truly and honestly tell you from the bottom of their heart that I do not have confidence in the political arena of South Africa? How do you navigate that challenge?
Typically, I actually ask them what it is that they do care about. And people care about different things. So it might be the environment, it might be jobs, or whatever it is that they care about. And I ask them what their plan is to get that particular issue to have some kind of prominence, or to get that problem that they might have to be resolved. And they always come back to saying that they understand that politics must be involved somewhere. And then I say to them, well, if that's the case, then would you not rather have the ability to at least have some sort of say in who gets to make the decisions about something that you believe and care strongly about, rather than leaving it to people that don't care about that and will vote for their own interests? Because at the end of the day, that's what we're doing. We're voting as best as possible for the people that are going to put our interests first, quite frankly. And I think that as South Africans, we really have also had this attitude of, oh, we don't want to care about politics, or politics is really like a lot of work. But that's a very privileged thing to be able to say, because it affects all of us. And I try to remind people that if at the very least you don't care about making the choice for yourself and you have the ability, do it for the people that can't. And that's usually particularly children, because whilst they are, you know, citizens, they have no agency until they are a certain age. And yet they are most affected by the biggest sort of policy issues that we have, whether it's education, whether it's infrastructure. We have them, you know, drowning in pit toilets, and they have absolutely no say. So I also remind them that the democracy is a group project. And of course, you might think your one little vote isn't going to do anything. Then mobilize and make it 10 of you or your community, so that you can guys can actually then come together to vote in a specific way to then control what happens there. And I think we need to also just remind ourselves about that in South Africa, because I think it's very isolating, and political parties do this very well, to make it seem as though it's just about you, when actually it's about all of us. And that's why I say, if more of us can register, more of us will have a say in the direction of things.
And as I hear you, I mean, political parties probably prefer a smaller voting pool.
100%. Especially the established ones, because then it means that their work is much less harder, because then all they have to do is to go to the voters' roll and, you know, pick the people that have already voted for them before and get turnout. It is hugely inconvenient for them to now suddenly have 500,000 new people on the voters' roll that they're now going to have to go start and canvass and see who they'll vote for and linger them for the vote, because they know that that's hard, and they know that those people are going to want to hold them accountable, which is why this is an important way for us to do it, because otherwise we just let the political parties who know that they can get the same people to come out to always come out. But if there's more of us, then they have to work extra hard, and they have to come and like suck up to us to be able to actually have that done.
Bali, as we wrap up our conversation,
Wow, that went quickly.
Our audio producer and host of News 24 on Air, Mihlali, is with us, and he has a very fun rapid fire segment to wrap up our discussion. Mihlali, over to you.
Right, Bali. So rapid fire will be two segments. First round will just be straight up questions about voter registration, and part two would just be you then reacting to perhaps scenarios where people justify or explain why they're not trying to vote. Right. Okay. First question. What's the most bizarre reason why someone has told you that they don't want to register to vote?
Yo, and I do hear quite a lot of them. I heard someone actually at one of our focus groups say that they didn't want to register to vote because they thought that it would give the person who was in their neighborhood running an edge to be able to. And clearly there was some beef there. Right. I mean, I'm sure I've heard a lot of more interesting ones, but that one comes to mind because he was so vehement about it.
Mm-hmm. And how does it feel to not be campaigning for a certain blue party for the upcoming election?
This is my first election in about 15 years where I haven't been campaigning to be, you know, a public representative or for a party. And it feels great. But I do miss the campaigning work just in general. I think political animal.
Right. And what's the coolest item your organization has given to a young person who's either registered to vote or voted?
I think the private concerts have been really great. Right. I think to have a private concert and to have a meal with your like favorite celebrity artist has been something that people have really loved. But I will say that the vouchers are the things that get people screaming the most on the ground too. Mm-hmm.
And final question for part one is, what are you hoping to see change after the upcoming election results?
I hope that we're going to have a lot more new parties in our parliament. I hope that we're going to have a shake-up of different personalities and different interest groups that are really going to be fighting for that. And I hope that we give a scare to the established parties so that they know that they can't act with impunity.
Okay. Now we move to part two of Rapid Fire. So I'm just going to give you a couple of excuses that people give to justify not wanting to vote. And you just, you know, tell us how you feel. Okay. First one is, I'm not registering to vote because I don't know who to vote for.
Fair, but you also have Google, so you can go and look up the manifestos of various parties. You can look up on the media all the different election guides that they have. So it's not really an excuse.
I really would like to vote, but I just don't have the time for it.
What are you going to be doing as a public holiday?
And why must I still vote if I'm experiencing issues like load shedding, water shortages, and so forth?
Because you're going to experience much worse if you allow the people that are putting you in that position to have a free rein by not voting them out.
Does voting really change anything for me?
I think you can speak to the residents of the 36 municipalities that have new governments and how they feel about when they went out to vote and saw some change.
That was super cool. Mbali, thank you so much. All the best for your weekend. What does your weekend look like?
Work, 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 on the ground, registration.
All right, so people can register to vote. They don't have to go to a voting station, right?
They don't. They can go onto our website, gwc.org.
Say that again?
Groundworkcollective.org.
So gwc.org.
Yeah, well, groundworkcollective.org.
Okay.
GWC on our social media. We're going to be at Maponya Mall on Sunday, and that's going to be a huge activation. There are going to be some really fun celebrities there.
All right, that sounds very cool. If you are not registered to vote, please register to vote. It is your civic duty. And get people around you to register to vote, especially young people. We have a lot of information on news24.com. Stay tuned for our coverage of this important voter registration weekend, and all the best in Bali. Thank you so much for joining. We'll see you next time.